The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. We have Jason Mons with us on the stream show for the first time. Jason Mons is the head football coach at Saguaro, six-time state champs. Their game against Chaparral tomorrow night, backyard brawl. Guys, think to your high school days. Think of the team that you hated most that was your rival. You just did not like them. Okay, that is Saguaro against Chaparral times 10. And that is the first COVID wiped out game in the high school season for Arizona high school football. That is a huge, huge deal. Imagine it's your senior year and you're going to play your backyard brawling rival, guys you work out with, guys you probably went to elementary school with, you went to separate high schools, and the plug is pulled on the game 48 hours before. That's what just happened to Saguaro against Chaparral. And there's probably more of this that's going to happen. Happened in the NFL today. So we'll get to that too. But Jason Mons will join us at 10:20. At 10:35, you're going to hear from Landon Donovan, the soccer star and the head coach in San Diego. If you missed last night's story, and there was a ton going on. I get it's minor league soccer, but it involved Phoenix Rising FC. And a gay slur used allegedly by a Rising FC player. And Landon Donovan's team took a knee and refused to play, even though they were leading 3-1 and their season comes to an end. This story, if you go Google Landon Donovan, front page of every sports section across the globe, overseas at the London Telegraph, they've written about this in big, bold headlines. It's Landon Donovan. When you hear his 3.5 to 4 minute explanation as to why, I think you're going to be moved a little bit, not to tears or anything, but just, I hadn't thought of it that way. So that'll come up at 10:35, and then we'll have the wisest of the wise guys. We'll finish the show with Jimmy Vaccaro, 40 plus years bookmaker extraordinaire in Las Vegas. As we always do, looking forward to the weekend in the NFL and college with Jimmy Vaccaro. That comes up at about 10:50. Opening comments brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union. I was on LinkedIn yesterday. I don't know if you guys go on LinkedIn much. I'm on LinkedIn all the time. And I saw a story about Jeff Mishi, the president of Desert Financial Credit Union, talking about what he's all about and everything he's done in the community for years and years and years. It's terrific. It's terrific. And I've gotten to know Jeff, and he is terrific. And his program is terrific. And what he does with Desert Financial Credit Union around the valley is terrific as well. And they're going to continue to expand across the state. Desert Financial Credit Union, it's where we are with Sports 360 AZ. We appreciate their support. Here now is Eric Sorensen, Senior Executive Vice President of Nothing or Everything. So last night, Eric sends me a text, was around 6, that you had something major on the high school platform to drop. We do pro college high school here in Arizona.
It was earlier than that. I think it was around, in the 4s somewhere. Because I first got wind of it in the 3s. So
in the 3s, and so the story is on the high school level, we're leading with this today. I think that story and what happened to Rising FC last night. Yeah, I mean, fine, the Lakers in the Heat. We'll get to that. That stuff's easy. And the Cardinals, that's easy. This story though has a lot behind it with Chaparral and Saguaro. So I'm going to hand it off to you on this. Because this is something that will impact, it sounds like, Eric, and you know more than I, that there are several high schools that are teetering on the COVID story, and Chaparral's the first one to go down, so Chap-Saguaro wiped out.
I was alerted by another coach not affiliated with Saguaro or with Chaparral that they had been hearing that there was some positive COVID test or testing that took place at Chaparral, and the first two games against Saguaro and O'Connor were going to be not postponed but canceled. And so I started digging around a little bit, got a couple of confirmations on it, and last night I spoke with someone over at Chaparral and that's very close to the situation, and what they told me, which I find even more fascinating, is they're going to be back at practice after quarantining 2 days before they play Hamilton. And this source told me that it's I think they said highly unlikely.
That game's not going to happen.
Even their week three game against Hamilton is going to take place. So you're really looking at Schapp not playing the first three games of an already shortened high school season, starting tomorrow in the game I was supposed to cover, Chaparral at Saguaro.
If you were to describe Saguaro Chaparral to people, and I used hatred and thinking back to your high school days, am I underselling it?
No. No, I think I told you that, I don't know if I told you on or off the air, that there's two ways to get to Saguaro when you're coming down the 101. One is off McDonald and one is off of Chaparral Drive. And the Saguaro people refuse to even acknowledge that street. So when they're giving directions, they say, exit McDonald, make sure you don't pass the exit either going north or south because you don't want to use that exit. Make sure you use the McDonald exit.
So they won't even use the name Chaparral.
And I know that the Saguaro people feel like Chaparral looks down their nose at Saguaro, like, oh, they're the school down there on Hayden. And there is no love lost between these two schools. It's a rivalry that goes back 50 years. Saguaro's won three in a row. Before that, Schapp won three in a row. You know, we've had all kinds of great players play on both teams. And it's a bummer, you know? It sucks for everyone, but there's all these high schools that are, as of right now, playing tomorrow. And the one game that I was supposed to attend got canceled.
Okay, that's so fun. Jason Mons is going to be with us here in a few minutes on this. I want to get to some other things before I get to Jason. So I don't know if you've had time to see the Rising FC story, have you?
I checked in?
Yeah. And I knew when I started seeing it come out on San Diego's Twitter last night, because I was watching all sorts of sports. I was watching the Lakers game. I was watching baseball playoffs. And I was not watching Rising. We've done a lot around Rising, but I've let Rising go. They found their footing, at least with ownership and trying to get stuff in place. But this story, I'm not going to sit here today and cast judgment on Rising FC because I don't know what they're going to do. I do know what Landon Donovan did, and you'll hear from Landon in about 20 minutes, completely respected for what Landon did. And now it's been picked up worldwide. ESPN is sitting there trying to decipher what's being said between Landon Donovan and Rick Shantz, the head coach of Rising, and he's got a mask over him, so you can't really make out what he's saying. And the slur was in a different language than what the referee understood because he doesn't speak that language, but he knew it was something bad. And Donovan throws his arms up in the air, and he's like, we got to get this out of the sport. So I have nothing but respect for him. You know, for those that are Rising fans that have seen us, I have nothing but respect for Landon Donovan today. And for the people that say, well, it's just sports, deal with it. I don't do that. I don't play that game.
If anyone in the soccer world didn't respect Landon Donovan before last night, everyone now has a greater respect, not just for him as a great soccer player, but for him as a head coach and standing up for his team and standing up for what's right. Like you and I talk about this a lot, Brad, on the show. Sports is a big deal, but what happened last night is way bigger than all of sports, even at the minor league soccer level. And it's sad that we keep hearing about these stories, and it's inexcusable. And we could go through a whole list of adjectives to describe what happened last night. But it's like we take one step forward as a society, and then we take three steps back, like what happened last night.
And there's people that are excusing the way of, well, that's just sports, that happens in the heat of battle.
No.
Let me tell you something. The younger generation's not putting up with that. Let me just, so that for a team to say, yeah, this is bigger than playing a game. When I grew up, did I hear stuff? Sure.
Of course.
But I would have never imagined that we would say, yeah, we're going to take a knee and not even play a game. Not this generation. And it's not old guy, get off my lawn. That's just a reality. It's a different, for people that say, well, we've got to take back America and things like this can't happen. Because I've seen some of that nonsense today. Like, I don't know, just watch the tape. So,
I think, real quick, Brad, we've evolved in the sense that even like comedy movies from 10, 12 years ago, some of the slapstick humor in that stuff's gone. Like, and it's not just gone temporarily, it's going to be gone forever.
No, you watch, it's a good point. You watch a movie and you just kind of get uncomfortable and say, there's no way, no how that would have worked, that would work in today's society. And some people don't want to hear that, but it's a fact. Jason Mons comes up next. Stay with us. All right, as promised, the big story, when you have the six-time state champions and their backyard rival having to cancel a couple days before the season opener on high school football, it reverberates throughout the state. So I've asked Jason Mons to come on board, the coach of the six-time champion Saguaro Sabercats. They found out that their opponent, Chaparral, the Firebirds, had to not play because of COVID-19. And I appreciate Jason joining us via Zoom. Let's just go back for a minute, Jason, on this. When did you first become aware that this game may not happen because of COVID?
Yeah, Brad, we were on the practice field yesterday, our third practice of the week. We had done early outs with our special teams, and we were transitioning from our game field doing special teams over to our practice field. And my trainer ran up to me and she said, "Hey, I just heard this. Nothing's official, but this is a rumor." So I found that out right before we started our 4 o'clock practice and just tried to keep business as usual. I didn't say anything to anybody. Sometimes you hear things like that and there's no substance to it. So then as the practice was going on, my phone started blowing up and started, hearing that it was maybe a little bit more substance there. And by the end of the practice, it was confirmed that, that our JV and varsity games were going to be canceled because Chaparral was going to have to go into quarantine.
When did you hear from the district on this?
I heard from our athletic director who spoke to the district right towards the end of our practice. So about 6 o'clock yesterday. And so again, it was right towards the tail end of our practice. So, I was able to pull our team up and explain the situation to them. And, obviously they were devastated, number one, because, just the opportunity to play football with everything they've been through and delays and setbacks, and things like that. And, obviously number two, that, against our rival and our seniors, last opportunity to play that game and, a big important game for us, for our community. So it was definitely tough. It was crazy chaotic. It still seems like we're trying to kind of sort through the mess, but like I told our kids, it's kind of the times that we're living in right now. It's going to be something that, we're not going to be the only ones that get affected like this year. We feel for Chaparral and the possibility of them missing, two to possibly three games, due to this. And, it's an unfortunate situation, but, with trying to get back and get games going in the fall and some of the guidelines that are in place, it's definitely something that probably, we're the first one, I think, to be affected, but we probably won't be the last, unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to ask the question, do you agree with the decision in these times? Because could there have been something else that could have been done even today or by tomorrow morning? But that's what I'm getting from people and fans is, how can this happen? And is it that many kids? Can you address that at all?
Yeah. I think number one, as far as I understand it, it's there's multiple people within the program. So it's not just one. And it's also, as I understand, and again, this is as I understand it. So, but that this wasn't a district decision, that it was a Arizona Department of Health through their contact tracing, who then recommended that anybody in close contact with this person be quarantined for 14 days. And so I don't think it was a decision that our district just decided to be proactive and cancel the game. I think it was the Arizona Department of Health contacted our district and said, this is the information we have, and this is what you need to do. And so our district is following the Department of Health guidelines, and so that's why we are where we are. As I understand it, again, I'm not the official decision maker or policy maker. I follow it, but that's how I understand the situation to be. So I think there's a lot of backlash at the SUSD right now, and I don't know that if the SUSD kept the game on, they would be going against what they were told by the Department of Health. That's how I understand it.
Yeah, and I'm hearing a lot of that backlash, and that's why I had to ask the question. I think it's fair too. Saguaro and Chap are separated by just a few miles. These kids all know one another. These kids may have been around each other in the last week or 2 weeks, although you would hope that they would be, more careful than that. Have you talked to your team about this is what could happen if you guys don't take care of your business?
Yeah, we've been talking about that all off season. And we've been trying to remind them that, all it takes is one guy. I mean, that's what you look at programs, Saguaro, we have about 1300 kids and Chaparral's got, a little over 2000, but not quite as big as the big, East Valley 6A schools that we're competing against. And so for schools like ours, we have to have our JV and varsity kids practice together so that we can have enough numbers to be able to have a scout team and all that. So I know for me speaking personally, we have about 85 kids between our varsity and JV, which, you know, is small numbers, but you know, if you combine them together, then it's a lot of kids on the field at the same time. And all it takes is one kid. If you have one kid in those, that group of 85 that you know, test positive, then everybody that was in contact becomes affected. And so, and I think that's the tough situation. It's harder for the schools that have smaller enrollments and smaller roster sizes to be able to split off. We don't have three separate coaching staffs for a freshman JV and varsity. We have a frosh soft staff, and then we have a varsity slash JV staff. And so all the guys that are our varsity coaches, then, you know, four or five of them help out and run the JV games on Thursday night, but they're all, it's not a separate team. And so that's what worries you is, you know, you try to talk to the kids, but you know, even the kids that are trying to do the right thing there, you know, I think it's been shown that a lot of people that have been wearing masks and washing hands and staying home and doing that have still contracted it. So, you know, there's no foolproof. I don't feel like, you know, Chaparral made a mistake, and that's why we are where we are. It's just the times that we're living in, and it can affect anybody. And it is, you're just kind of day to day, you know, that risk is always there that something could happen.
Jason Mons with us, head coach at Saguaro, six-time state champs. Game against Chaparral was postponed. This game will not be made up, correct?
Yeah, as far as I understand it, it will not. I think the only thing that would be is if, you know, future opponents had to cancel and we had the same open dates, but the way that this schedule's been put together, there are no open dates from here until the start of playoffs. There's no bye weeks, so there really are no openings to be able to reschedule games along the way. So I mean, that's why we are where we are right now, which is, you know, we're not going to have a game tomorrow unless somebody else has to to get shut down. So you know, you just start preparing for the next one. You know, we have Brophy next Friday, and we're going to start breaking down Brophy and preparing for that. And if something changes between now and tomorrow night, you know, we told our guys, we're going to still do our walkthrough tonight. We're going to try to stay ready to play a game, I think obviously Chaparral is not in the mix, but you know, if somebody else all of a sudden gets an opening, you know, I told our AD, we'll play anybody anywhere. If we need to play Saturday, we'll play Saturday. I mean, we want to play, but if that's not in the cards, we'll move forward and understand that this might not be the only time that we're affected like this season. So we just have to control the things that we can control and stay focused.
You're one of the leading programs in the state. It's no secret, Jason. And this is the tip of the iceberg from what a lot of people are telling me. A lot of rumblings and rumors today, as you and I are talking here on a Thursday morning, that there are other programs that may be put into this space. You have your ear to the ground in high school football. Do you believe that this is just the tip of the iceberg?
Well, I think, you know, a lot of it, Brad, just comes down to it's how are people interpreting things? You know, I've heard, just like everybody's hearing, that there's other, you know, other places that there may be COVID situations. And, you know, the AIA guidelines say, well, you only have to shut down if you have three or more people that are COVID positive and you know, in a team of 25 or more. And but does that align with what the Department of Health is saying? And so I think that's where there's some discrepancies right now is are we following what the Department of Health is saying? Are we following what the AIA is saying? You know, who has the trump card? And, you know, so there is, I think it's just like we saw all summer long. You know, we were shut down for 3.5 weeks over the summer where we couldn't do anything. We weren't allowed in our weight room all summer long. We were in small groups in phase one the entire summer. And you had other schools that were in the weight room and they had 100 kids on the field and they were going full tilt. And so, you know, a lot of this has been left up in the air and left to the individual districts to make decisions. And, you know, I don't necessarily think that's been right. I think it's created a lot of competitive inequities. I think it's created a lot of situations like you see now where you have some districts shutting teams down and some districts maybe trying to push through and what's right and what's wrong. I don't know. They don't pay me enough money to make those decisions.
Well, and I've gotten in the middle of it too. I went down to Ducey and got into him on it. And I've had people come after me on both sides. I think we're all frustrated because at the end of the day, it is about the kids. Yeah. And kids can only be stretched so far. And I think you and I are completely aligned on that front, that we're seeing the effects of this on kids not being able to play and get out on the field.
Yeah, for sure. No, I think that's the biggest thing. That's what I felt the worst about yesterday is, and I had somebody ask me, you know, what, you know, they did an interview and they were asking about COVID and getting to where we're getting and getting to be able to kick off the season. I just said, I'm so proud of our kids for going through what they've gone through, to be able to remain positive, to have good attitudes, to continue to show up. I mean, our kids were showing up every day and working their butt off in 110 degree heat when there was no guarantee of any kind of football season, when things were looking really bleak, and they were still there every day with good attitudes, and they were having fun, and they were pushing and working. And so I think, you know, this generation of kids, they get a lot of grief sometimes of, you know, oh, we're in trouble in the future and all that. And I said, you know what? What I've seen is I've seen a bunch of kids with really no light at the end of the tunnel continue to show up every day and have good attitudes and work hard and stay focused and stay the course. And so I feel very strongly that, you know, our kids are wired to get through this. It is unfortunate. There is a certain point where you're like, enough is enough, but our kids are resilient. They're going to stay together. They're going to stay focused. They're going to keep working. And that was our message yesterday is, you know, at the end of the day for us, this isn't life or death. You know, whether we play 10 games or 8 games or 6 games, we just have to focus on trying to win every one of them. And we can still get to the ultimate goal that we're trying to achieve as a team. And we can't let things like this knock us off that course. And, you know, we've had every opportunity to get knocked off course. We've had every opportunity to make excuses and shut things down and not work quite as hard, but we haven't taken any of those opportunities to do that. So why start now?
Two other quick questions. I'll let you go, and I appreciate your time with Jason Mons. You have Brophy, and then you have Maricopa, and then you have a game against Hamilton, which is going to be nationally televised on ESPN. A lot of people are buzzing about that. Only having 2 games, and this is no disrespect to Jason and what's going on over at Brophy or Maricopa, but only having 2 games before a national game for your program, does that concern you at all? Is that why you really want to find a game tomorrow night or Saturday?
Yeah, you know, obviously, the more reps you get, the better you're going to be. Yeah. The more game action, the game speed, conditioning, you know, and early on, you know, we've got a handful of guys that'll get eligible week 5. And so the week after Hamilton. And so early on in the season, we've got some guys that are going to have to play both ways. And so you want to be able to get their conditioning up by playing, you know, full speed live 4 quarters of game action. And so, yeah, I think that handicaps you a little bit. But at the end of the day, we'll have two games plus the scrimmage that we've had, and we're competing hard in practice. We'll be ready. You know, we're never going to make excuses for ourselves, and we'll be excited to play those guys. You know, we had a great matchup the last time we played them, and you know, I know they've added some important pieces, but you know, we feel really good about the pieces that we have as well. So I think it'll be an exciting early season game. I think we'll be, you know, given the chance to showcase what Arizona high school football is about on a national stage, and I'm sure both programs will be ready for that.
Okay, on a lighthearted, I'll get you out of here on this. Betting man, are you at Notre Dame Prep versus Brophy tomorrow night, or are you on the sidelines playing somebody else, or Saturday? Or are you doing both?
Betting man,
where are you?
I don't know. You know what? I don't know if they're going to even let me in on the sidelines at Notre Dame Brophy since we play both of them. So, you know, I might be standing on our sidelines by myself just, you know, playing out the imaginary game in my head. But, no, I don't know. My wife already told me, and I said, well, what are we going to do if we can't find one? And she said, well, should we stream the Brophy game and have a date night at home? And I said, all right, that sounds like a football life to me. So if we're not able to find a game, we'll definitely be tuned in and try to get some advanced scouting done on Brophy, and a lot of respect for Jason and his program and what he's done over there.
Let you go off that. Appreciate the time and insight. Good catching up. Thanks.
All right, Brett. Take care. Thank you.
There's Jason Mons with us, head football coach at Saguaro, 6-time state champs. Appreciate his time. And we're back with more after this timeout. Thanks again to Jason Mons. Eric, what did you think of the coach with everything going on? Anything jump out at you?
I thought he was composed and he was in a good space, considering the fact that everything got turned upside down 48 hours before a game against their rival. But I also think that Coach Mons has always had a good perspective of everything around him. He's not just like, he doesn't have tunnel vision just on what's happening at Saguaro. He has, as you said, his ears to the ground of the high school football community. And obviously his program is polarizing. I think Coach Mons honestly is pretty polarizing.
Yep.
So, I don't know. Like, I guess it's a wait and see, and a lot can change in 24 hours. 'Cause yesterday, at this point, no one could have suspected what happened yesterday afternoon. So it's just kind of the new normal.
Okay, so you're of the opinion that Chaparral versus Hamilton is not going to happen.
Yes.
Okay, yes. So you're pretty convicted on that. You usually – and so
basically look at it this way, Brad. So
okay.
The entire JV and varsity Chaparral football program has to quarantine for 14 days, okay?
That went in this week, next week.
Correct. That went into effect on Wednesday. So they could they are scheduled to return to the practice field 2 weeks from today. Okay. They are scheduled to play Hamilton 2 weeks from tomorrow. So
their JV would be 2 weeks from tonight.
Correct. You're right. Two weeks from tonight. So, yeah. I mean, if I'm Brett Barnes, the head coach, do I really want to play a game after these guys have essentially just not had any sort of physical activity in 2 weeks? Of course not. So there's, you know, there is a high probability that Chaparral will not play their first three games. Now, if this happened on a Monday and they quarantined for 2 weeks and they'd have Tuesday to practice, Wednesday to practice, Thursday to walk through, might be a little bit more doable.
Okay, so I'm asking this question because with the open division, you're going to need to stack your wins. You're going to have resume. And if you're Hamilton, all of a sudden Hamilton, you're suggesting, or you're pretty definite, Hamilton's got to be looking for a game today.
Yep. I would have to think they would be, because that would be the right move.
And so if Hamilton is looking for a game, and you and I are both of the opinion, because we're not going to sit here and say, well, we're hearing about this school and that school, because that's not cool. That's not right. But you and I are both hearing about schools that are heating up in terms of COVID and are this close to shutting down. You know, as much as people are like, oh, this is fake, there's nothing to it, everybody's over. No, they're not overreacting to it. So I'm looking at this and saying, if you've got Saguaro already without a game, and Chaparral, there's no way they're going to make it into the open. They've got to be aiming for the 6A now. They've got, it's just, and they made open last year. So they're going to have three less games. And so when it comes to resume, let's just say for argument's sake, Saguaro beats Hamilton. And then Hamilton has a game that's wiped out against Chaparral. Well, all of a sudden, Hamilton is sitting there saying, you know, if we don't beat Chandler in the last game of the year, we may not make the open division because we simply don't have enough on our resume.
You're exactly right.
That's the trickle down. Right. That's the trickle down effect of all this. And of course, the Hamilton people are just, oh, what do you mean? We're going to win. No, you don't know. You don't know. And so the trickle down effect for all these programs, and where does a program pop up on like today for Jason to say, yeah, we'll play you tomorrow. The elite programs are already tied down. The second level programs are already tied down. So you're not going to see somebody break a contract. Who's going to say, well, we can get Hamilton in 4 weeks or 3 weeks. Let's go break our contract. They're not going to break contracts. This is not the NCAA.
It's a slippery slope too, Brad, not to interrupt you, because what's really important when it comes to making the open division, it's PowerPoints. Okay.
Yes.
You want as many PowerPoints as possible.
That's right.
But the way I look at it, would it be more beneficial for Saguaro not to play this weekend than to go play fill in the blank small school that they are just going to run over in a quarter and a half?
Right.
Because yes, it's going to be a win, but is it going to hurt the PowerPoints at the end of the year when other teams are like, well, so-and-so beat this team, that team, this team, that team. Saguaro beat Hamilton, and then they beat Maricopa, and then they beat, you know, fill in the blank, small school. It's just, you know, it's all about resumes. I'd rather have, like, my highlight wins and not have blowouts against teams that are only going to hurt you at the end.
No, but Eric, I'll flip it around. Let's just say Saguaro beats Hamilton, and then Hamilton doesn't have that game against Chaparral. You know, let's say Saguaro ends up losing. If Saguaro plays Hamilton and Saguaro gets boat raced by Hamilton, what does Saguaro have? They don't have the game against Chaparral, and Hamilton boat raced them. So it's a two-way street on this deal.
Yep.
Where both programs, because this was a marquee game, and it sounds like, I think it's fair to say, when we have other games canceled now, not if, but when we have other games canceled, how is that going to impact? And the arguments over this stuff and the PowerPoints and this stuff. And I thought Jason's comments about whether it's the AIA or the health side of it, it just goes back to all the nonsense that we've had since June. It's just, and you have parents that lose their minds because all they want is daddy baller just wants his kid to play. Well, no, there's this group over here that says you can't. And then you have the open division. You have those people that all they want to care about is bragging that they made the open division to the neighbor that doesn't even like them. I mean, it's just like, you know, it's the nonsensical stuff.
And I guess one last thing, Brad, and I know that I know we're up against it, but it's really a domino effect because, yes, it impacts, of course, who's at the top of the food chain on this? It's Chaparral, but it impacts O'Connor. It impacts Saguaro. It impacts Hamilton. And so not only does Chaparral have to adjust everything, those other three teams now also have to adjust everything as the season is starting. Ugh, glad.
Well, but and add to that. There are schools out there today that I'm sure are saying, I would much rather put Saguaro on my schedule or Hamilton on my schedule rather than who I have scheduled in week 3 or week 4.
But yeah,
you can't do that. You can't just call up teams and say, hey, you know what? We don't want to play you guys. We'd rather play Saguaro because they're far better than you. And I think my team is where we need to be.
Yeah, exactly.
So Landon Donovan. We'll get to Jimmy Vaccaro in a minute. I think the Landon Donovan story today is only going to continue to pick up. Phoenix Rising, San Diego last night, playing the Loyal. They're playing in San Diego. There's a alleged gay slur used by a Phoenix Rising player. Here is Landon Donovan on why he pulled his team off the field. This is very important. Very, very important. And we'll get to Jimmy Vaccaro in a minute. This is very important that you hear this because this is one of the leading voices across the world when it comes to soccer. And last night with Phoenix Rising, our hometown team, alleged of doing something, saying something, Landon Donovan's team did something with his blessing that I thought was appropriate and very important. So here's Landon Donovan.
So we've been through a lot in the last week. This club, our players, the organization has been through a lot in the last week. And I understand that most people watching from afar probably don't really get it, but we've been living it. And so went through a really hard incident last week in the LA match. And we made a vow to ourselves, to our community, to our players, to the club, to USL, that we would not stand for bigotry, homophobic slurs, things that don't belong in our game. And so much so that on our signboards, we made a statement saying, I will act, I will speak. Right, so if something happens, I'm going to speak about it and I'm going to act about it. Because last week, our one regret was we should have done something in the moment when Elijah was racially abused. And that was our regret. From our players, from me, I wish we would have done something. And had we known what had happened, I think we would have done something. So we also agreed with Phoenix before the game. Our players reached out to their players and said in the 71st minute, which was the minute that it happened to Elijah last week, we were going to stop the game. We're going to hold a banner together that said, I will act, I will speak, I will act. Because we don't want to just talk about it, we actually want to do it, and we wanted to send a message. So, in the end of the first half, Colin came over to the fourth official after, crazily, somehow he got red carded, and told the fourth official that he had been abused by a homophobic slur by one of their players. And when I heard that, I lost it because I know what this team has gone through. I know how hard it was for them to even take the field tonight, given everything that happened. And then for it to happen again a week later was just devastating for me. So it was a really difficult, probably 20 minutes, because our players in the heart of the moment and the passion of the moment still wanted to play. I mean, they were kicking Phoenix's ass, right? And that's a great feeling as a soccer player. But if we want to be true to who we are as a club, we have to speak and we have to act. So after halftime, we all decided that if the player who used the homophobic slur was not removed from the game, either through the officials or through their coach, that we were not going to play. Because if they're not willing to act, then we have to act. We have no choice. I asked the referee to do something about it. He said he couldn't. He said he heard the word. He knew the word was said, but he didn't know what it means. He doesn't know what that means, so he couldn't interpret it, and he didn't want to send him off because he doesn't know what the word means. Fair enough. I can understand that. If you don't speak another language, he doesn't speak whatever that was, Jamaican, then that's fine. I also then went to their coach and said, I just want to be really clear on this. We've had a really hard week. He and I talked about it before the game, about how much we've been through. And I just said, if you don't pull the player off the field, if you don't sub him off, our players are not going to play because we have to make a stand. So either you do it or else we're going to have to do it. And he said, I'm not going to sub him off the field. I said, okay, that's fair. That's your choice. And then our guys, to their immense credit, just said, we're not going to stand for this. They were very clear in that moment that they were giving up all hopes of making the playoffs, even though they were beating one of the best teams in the league, handedly. But they said it doesn't matter. There's things more important in life, and we have to stick up for what we believe in. And so they made the decision to walk off. And I have tremendous pride in this group, and I'm really proud of this organization that I get to be a part of it.
Important words, I think, from Landon Donovan. Jimmy Vaccaro on the other side. Stay with us. All right, you got to head up to Vegas this weekend. Head to the South Point, see Jimmy Vaccaro, wisest of the wise guys, joins us as always. The view from Vegas. Jimmy, Lakers Heat, game one last night. How's it looking in Vegas with the NBA Finals so far?
Well, first of all, my friend, everything is moving obviously rather quickly. It's been a great week, and I'm sure we'll be heading into some other great games also. We've got the NBA Finals. We got the NFL football. We have some college with some marquee games. Obviously, yesterday, all the locals here loved their Lakers, so we took it on the chin pretty good, but it's only one game. They were a 4-1 favorite to win the series before the game won yesterday, and there was actually about $20,000 at 3-1 that people thought that the Heat might have upset them. Obviously, we have a long way to go, but right now it looks like the Lakers are in pretty good shape, and LeBron keeps getting better, and Anthony Davis is obviously showing what he can do also. So it's going to be a tough trip for the Heat, but we'll see where it goes from here. It does create great weekday action for the books here in Las Vegas.
All right, Steelers-Titans gets taken down by COVID. What's the impact in Vegas on this COVID situation now? It finally hit the NFL.
Well, first of all, what we do now, we pay more attention. The supervisors are always on the lookout, keeping every internet site on just to see if anything comes across that we don't know about it before anybody else. So it's no good. But we obviously just go day to day like every other industry, every other business. You obviously watch a little bit closer, but it's not a good sign having the first NFL game postponed. But we will do our best to try to please everything and mandate everything. People have to remember also, like I said, it is a business. And, you know, we're mandated like the governor, like in every other state, where we have to follow certain rules and guidelines. And if we don't, man, we get picked on real quick by Nevada Gaming Control.
Let me throw a couple NFL games at you. The Cardinals at 2-1 after a stinker last week against Detroit. They play at Carolina. No Christian McCaffrey for the Panthers. Cardinals going across country. I saw 3.5 Cardinals early in the week. What's it look like in Vegas now?
Well, you're right on the money, kid. Everything you said is right there. Arizona, if they lose this one here, they'll be back to the Arizona Cardinals and not be road favorites no matter who was playing. We opened the game forward down to 3.5 also. Total 52, one of the higher totals of the day. But like you said, this is a pretty big game for the Cardinals, who may be saying we're ready to take that step up, or, hey, we're the same old Cardinals.
Yeah, they have the Jets next week, so if you don't win here, that's not good. You should just take care of business against those stinkers. All right, New England at Kansas City, I think the marquee game of the day. Man, when the Chiefs play, everybody's glued. The ratings were unbelievable. Wow. I'm sure everybody's geeked up about this one, Jimmy.
kid, out of all the games, and you picked the one that I was going to bring up next. It surely is a great, it's a 125 game. Naturally, the Raiders and the Bills are playing also, but the Chiefs will get, and the Patriots will get all the attention. Chiefs open the 6.5-point favorite, total way up there at 54. There's no doubt in my mind it'll be the biggest teaser game of the day. Everybody just teasing down Kansas City, just have to win the football game. So I can tell you right now, it'd be a great day for the South Point if the Patriots upset them. But this Mahomes kid, I don't know. There seems to be no ceiling for him, kid. But to answer your question, biggest game of the day, Patriots at the Chiefs, and the Chiefs will gather a lot of attention.
Jimmy, stay well. Enjoy the weekend. Thanks.
All right, buddy.
Here's Jimmy Vaccaro at the South Point. Good catch up with Jimmy. Good show today. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. He's the Iron Man, day in and day out. Plays hurt, plays strong, makes it happen. Eric Sorensen, senior executive vice president of everything or nothing, depending on the day. And we are going to head over now and work on our online content. We have our TV show as well over on Fox Sports Arizona. Brad Sussmat, Football AZ. If you've not checked out our website, sports360az.com. We are Arizona-centric. We have been doing this for 8+ years. We are self-funded. That means the sponsors that you see believe in us and say, we're going to invest in you because you are community and you are Arizona. We appreciate them, and we encourage you to support them as well. Have yourself a great day.